Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 34, the Paid to Be Me podcast. The podcast that empowers you to create a lifestyle and business that is authentic, fun, and highly profitable. My guest today is Lindsay Wander. Lindsay is the founder and CEO of Worldwise Tutoring, which helps students of all ages and abilities become confident and independent lifelong learners. Lindsay originally studied to become a biomedical engineer, but it was an internship in environmental education that inspired her to become a middle school biology and STEM teacher. After several years in the classroom, she decided to start her tutoring company with the goal of interweaving the content of the lessons with essential learning and life skills. With her extraordinary team of instructors, Lindsay's goal is to help their students grow into the competent and conscious leaders our world so desperately needs. In this episode, Lindsay and I talk about falling in love with learning, cultivating a growth mindset, and how to leverage word of mouth and referrals to scale your business. As always, thanks so much for being here. It means a lot you've decided to spend your time with us, and I'm incredibly excited to share this episode with you. Lindsay, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So excited that you are here. How was your weekend? How have you been?
Well, the weekend was good. My best friend surprised me and flew in yesterday, so that was fun.
Nice.
Got to see her in the middle of the craziness, but Yeah, you know, we're back to it. Monday, we're chugging along. Everything's going well.
I love it. Love it. Love it. I'll give the folks a little bit of an introduction to you and some of the work that you're up to in the intro to the show. Okay. But I would love to hear from you directly. Like, what all are you up to right now?
Wow. So there's a lot going on right now. You know, I think that my industry is one of the ones that's definitely been spotlighted going through everything with the pandemic, and especially now with school starting. So what have I been up to? I have a lot of new projects that have been in response to pain points from clients that I've started. One of the things we're doing actively is the learning pods. So we're forming those in-person small groups. Sometimes they're called micro schools or even like backyard schools. Yeah. And it's mostly for parents of elementary students. I'm finding that they're looking for more of that socialization, but I have also had some for middle school and high school as well, but that's a big logistical component to it, because some of them are parents who just recently heard from their schools that, oh, we're going to be doing fully remote or hybrid, and now they're scrambling. School's already started, or it's going to be starting soon, and they're trying to find solutions because they have to work full time and they don't want a repeat of what happened in the spring. And so they're looking for a place where their child can go and have an actual professional educator handle their e-learning and then kind of keep them occupied for certain hours of the day, but then have a socialization component to it, which all sounds really easy, but then you have to also throw in, we are going through a global pandemic. So then there's a bunch of, you know, safety and logistical aspects of that as well. So that's taken up quite a chunk of time, but it's been great to be able to give people peace of mind that they can be in their office working and their kids are getting their work done for school and they're learning and they're having fun and everything is safe. So that's been probably the biggest project that we're really handling at this particular moment. Plus, I mean, there's a ton of other projects I can go on for a while if you're interested, but yeah, there's a lot going on.
Totally. Yeah. And I can imagine that's really supportive for parents who, I mean, everyone who's never been through anything like this before, being able to partner with someone who has a deep, extensive knowledge in like what it takes to educate properly. And they just feel like their kids are getting taken care of in a sense. So it's super awesome. Yeah. And I know, you know, just given everything that's happened, like your business has actually seen sort of like a rise, like you're growing actively and bringing in a lot of other folks, which I definitely want to get into. But I'd love to hear from you a bit about like how you got started in tutoring and education. Like, where did that start for you?
Well, it has been one long and windy path, I'll tell you that. So, you know, and I think that's kind of the general consensus among many business owners. We start, you know, one way and kind of take different opportunities, and we end up right where we're supposed to be in putting everything we learned from those opportunities into place. So I actually went to school originally for biomedical engineering. And once I started doing the classes and the lab work, I was like, yeah, I just, this isn't for me. It's really fun to learn about, but sitting in a lab and doing, you know, PCR and all this crazy stuff all the time, I'm just like, this is, I need people. I need interaction. So I actually switched my major. I kept it biology, chemistry, math, but I had switched my emphasis and to more ecology. So I was out in the mountains every single day. It was awesome. Nice. But then once I graduated, I was like, all right, what am I going to do with these crazy degrees? You know? So one of the things, and this is something I advise my students to do as well, is I decided to test the waters of careers before jumping into one. So I had various internships, which also gave me the opportunity to travel the world for free. And the internships range from doing research in the backcountry on marmots to doing grant writing for the largest environmental center, outdoor center in Ireland. You know, I was just kind of all over the place. One of the jobs that really stuck with me, though, was my environmental education job, where I was in Pennsylvania. We had an outdoor center. Schools came out there like as a field trip, and we taught the kids. And then I was like, yeah, this is it for me. This is what I was supposed to do. So I went back to school to get my teaching credential, and I taught for several years in low-income schools in California, and I taught STEM in middle school. So it was very heavy emphasis on biology and math, but also had a lot of engineering components to it. And really just my goal was to just get those kids excited about learning. You know, if they didn't remember the steps of mitosis, fine, you know, but they had fun doing it, you know, and that's really all I really cared about. To the point that the kids would tell me, you know, I'm only coming to school for your class, which that's great. You're coming to school, you're having fun. And that's really what the goal was. And I just loved it. I loved my job. I was making a huge impact on the kids. I had so much opportunity to be creative. They really trusted me with what I was doing. It was awesome. But I didn't like California. I know that's crazy to say, but you know, I grew up there and I was like, I love Chicago. I wanted to move to Chicago. So I thought, I'll find a school like that in Chicago, and didn't find a school that gave me the same freedom. I found that there was a lot of emphasis on test scores at the schools that were trying to hire me, to the point that I was again at a low-income school teaching high school, and I was giving the kids packets of test questions every day, all day, when I had a storage unit full of microscopes and dissection kits. And it's like, it was just awful. So that's when I said, you know, I've been tutoring this whole time. Let's just start tutoring full-time. And I tutored full-time on my own, and it grew so fast that within a couple of years, I had to form the LLC, start hiring other tutors. It just took off because, you know, once word of mouth starts going, it goes, especially among parents. And now I am, the business has been 9 years, and I have about 50 tutors and 3 staff. We're mainly in Illinois and Texas, although with everything going on globally, you know, our services have always been online internationally, but even more so now. And even in person, I'm trying to help families, even in places that we don't necessarily have in-person tutors, because I'm really good at finding amazing instructors and getting things set up. So if that's kind of the system I already have, I can help them, even if that's not a state I'm necessarily stable in just yet. So that's where I'm at now. And it's, you know, had its ups and downs over the years, but we're definitely on an up right now. And so I'm just kind of riding it and seeing where it takes us and hoping that this gives us an opportunity to reshape education and, you know, consider how we're teaching these kids. And I love that the microscope is being aimed now at education. So it's giving us a chance to really reevaluate.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Thank you for sharing all that. There's a bunch of stuff in there that I like definitely want to touch on. But I think a couple of things that you shared that really jumped out at me. One was you know, you're talking about testing careers before you jump into one, which I think is so incredibly important. And I find, you know, a lot comes up with people who are interested in entrepreneurship and starting a business or even starting a new business. And there's this question of like, what business do I want to start? Do I want to start this business, that business, whatever it is? And there's something to be said for like, hey, just go try it. Like literally just go try it. See, you know, see if you like it or not. Cause that's really the only way to actually understand if it's something that you're going to want to spend more time in and, you know, fully build out. So I love that, like the experimentation piece of that and the discovery piece of that. And, you know, I can definitely hear in your story the thread of being attracted and interested in education. And, you know, I would just be curious for you, like, what is it about education and teaching that's so exciting for you?
You know, it's funny because I've had to do a lot of exploration on that myself. You know, what is it that keeps drawing me to this? And I think it was because I had some amazing teachers at really monumental stages in my life. And I, you know, as a kid, I had a high IQ, but I was bored. And so because I was bored and had a little bit of the ADD, ADHD, but it wasn't a big thing back then, so who knows? I acted out. So I had a lot of behavior issues. And there were several teachers throughout my life that saw through that and gave me the extra attention and support that I needed when I needed it, which just made me fall in love with learning and direct that attention towards that. And I think, you know, subconsciously, that's probably what's led me to be the same role in other people's lives, not even just, you know, with my students, but I try to do that with parents, with my instructors, trying to just kind of guide them and help them, you know, be their true self and find satisfaction in their day and not feel suffocated in a way. Because I think that's really, as a kid, I just didn't feel like I was able to be me.
I love that. It's what I hear. And that is you're supporting people and children to bring them their full selves into their lives. And it's less about fitting into the system, quote unquote, but just more about understanding how it works. And at the same time, creating, you know, a life that works for you, like exactly. Being able to see through the social pieces of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's interesting because I think about the being bored piece. And I think a lot of people struggle with that because I don't think it's something that it never really gets talked about in that way, especially when you think about career or you think about, you know, starting a business or whatever it might be. So, you know, I'd be curious for you, like, is it something that has just become like a natural part of your personality? Like you're not interested in doing anything that bores you? Has it been something that you've had to like work on? Because I'm sure a lot of people would be interested in knowing like, hey, how do I spend more time not doing things that bore me?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, when people say things like, oh, I'm bored. I mean, it just boggles my mind. I don't know how a person can be bored. So that kind of goes along with the premise of my company is to get people to love to learn and become lifelong learners. So there's just so much to learn and so much to explore. How can you be bored? And I think that the problem is their creativity and their innovation and their questioning has been suppressed. A lot of it is because coming from being a classroom teacher, when you have a classroom of 45 kids, sometimes you just need them to sit down and get their pencil out, you know, and it's hard to be able to say, what's your creative question you have today? You don't always have time for that because you have standards you have to hit and, you know, you only have a certain amount of time. And I get it. I mean, I've been there, but that's where, you know, we come in as an extension of support to the school is to be able to give students an outlet for that creativity. So hopefully they don't grow up into bored adults. And I mean, I say this to my kids all the time. There's aspects of my job that are boring. You know, I don't love payroll. I don't love going through and like copying and pasting in spreadsheets. It's not my favorite, but it is, you know, just something, it's a means to an end. It's an aspect of what we have to do. And that's the reality of life. But that's a very small portion of what I do. And beyond that, I'm in a position now where I can actually delegate that out. So I can bring in support I can give that to people who love that, who love payroll and doing spreadsheets and then bring, you know, joy to their life in a way. So there, you know, hopefully with being educated and following your dreams, you get to a point that ripples out and you can create, if you are an entrepreneur, for example, create job opportunities for people to be able to express their authenticity and find joy in what they're doing.
Totally. Yeah. And I think that's the cool thing about building a business, being an entrepreneur, being a lifestyle entrepreneur, is you then get to create the system by which you create value and income for yourself. Like, you actually get to say, you know, what do I want this to look like? What kinds of things do I want to be involved in? You know, and how do I stay in my zone of genius doing the things that I really love while also partnering with the team to, you know, help me take on the things that maybe I'm not strong at or I just don't enjoy doing. You know, I one of the things you were talking about too was, as people grow up, they might have had an experience when they were younger of having having been taught to learn in a particular way that maybe wasn't necessarily as exciting. And I think that there's so much value as an adult in being a self-driven learner and educating yourself. And I would just be curious if you had any like advice or what you would tell someone who was stuck with maybe not feeling like they had the tools to be able to teach themselves, or had an experience when they were younger where education or learning wasn't very exciting, like how you might support them in reinventing their relationship with it.
That's interesting, because honestly, one of my first questions when I meet people, besides, you know, what do you do? But it's, are you happy at your job? Because I really think that determines if they're happy in life. Honestly, the person and their response, if it's kind of like, not really, but you know, pays the bills. Okay. You're probably not a very happy person, but if they're like, you know, no, but I have this dream and on the side, I'm working on the side project and that's where I find my happiness. It's just, it's kind of, you have to seek out those opportunities. And I mean, I read every day. I'm slammed with work, but I read every day. I listen to podcasts when I'm walking, when I'm exercising, when I'm cooking. You know, there's so many opportunities to learn. But one of the other ways you can really learn is also by teaching. So putting yourself in a position where you're helping others and teaching others, even if it is once a month or once a week, I feel like a lot of people can find value in that and maybe find more meaning and purpose in their life if they're not super happy with their job. Picking up hobbies is really good because it might bring you down a path where it could lead into a business. You know, there's a lot of people who have businesses that started out as the side thing. Me, I mean, tutoring was a side thing to supplement income. And here I am now. I didn't think I was going to own a tutoring company, but I was doing that on the side. And one of the things I always tell my students is, you don't know what you don't know, you know? Yeah. So just like, just take those opportunities, and it's going to, you know, in the end now, in hindsight, I look back and think all those little things, wow, I learned this here, I learned that here, I learned this there, and I'm using them now. But who would have thought that job, you know, chasing marmots in the mountain actually gave me skills I'm using now? You just don't know. So for people who are feeling a little lost, I would just take those chances. If something feels interesting or exciting, do it. There's tons of free classes online nowadays that you don't even have to leave your house. Like the podcast I was saying, there's just so many things that might spark something for you and lead you down a different path.
Yeah. Well, I think it was exactly what we were talking about earlier in terms of experimentation and discovery. Like that's how, you know, you have this conversation around finding your zone of genius or finding your purpose. And the only way that you get there is by creating fodder, like creating content, creating reflection points through education, through actually going out and experiencing things. And yeah, I think it's, if it's something that you're actually building into your day, it becomes a lot easier. Like I'll read for 30 minutes in the morning and then an hour or so usually at night to like calm my brain down before I go to sleep. And you'd be surprised, I mean, how many books you can get through even with 30 minutes or like an hour a day. You can start, you know, knocking them out
pretty regularly. Same. Yeah, I read, I mean, instead of going on Instagram and Facebook, which just wakes your mind back up.
Yeah,
I read every night to calm down, and I fall asleep with the book, you know, on my bed, and I sleep solid. And it's true. I get through probably a book a week just with that 20, 30 minutes every night. And it's awesome.
You learn.
I mean, honestly, I think books, I mean, I get parents all the time who are like, what can I be doing with my kid? And the minute that child is born, read to them. There, I can't even, the value from books isn't just reading comprehension. I mean, as you know, because you're a reader, I mean, there's just, you learn about cultures, you learn about people, you learn about yourself. And then you also learn the academics, you know, you learn, you know, good vocabulary and better writing skills. I mean, there's just, I've learned so much just from these books I read, and I love it.
Mm-hmm, totally. Well, and I think especially in the field of entrepreneurship and business ownership, there's just so much, to learn all the time. And so being able to literally read things from people who have been doing this for decades, and being able to absorb their perspective and take the things that they're teaching and that they've learned the hard way and to be able to incorporate it into your business, I think is absolutely brilliant. And total side note too, I'd be curious, like from an entrepreneurship or business ownership perspective, do you have any books that have like really made a difference for you?
So this is one of the things about me that I, you know, a lot of people think is kind of strange. I'm very academic, but I also grew up in California with a bunch of hippies. So I have a very spiritual side of me as well, hence the traipsing through the mountains kind of thing. So most of the books that got me in my life were on the more spiritual side, where they were, you know, like The Power of Now or The Secret, you know, those kind of ones that were still practical skills I could use in my life, but really showed me that the power was within me and, you know, we're all connected, and bringing, you know, that feeling of wanting to help others to fruition with practical skills. And that was, I think those kind of books were ones that really led me. But personally, and when I see people who tell me, you know, I'm not a reader, I don't like reading, I think the biggest thing is finding the type of books you like. Personally, I don't really like fiction. Sorry, I don't like nonfiction. I prefer fiction. So, and you can learn. I mean, I'm reading a book now that took place during the Holocaust. And so I'm learning about history while reading a book that has dialogue and characters in it. So, but for me, I couldn't read a history book. It's just not as exciting for me. So I think that, you know, if you just find something that speaks to you and stick with that, I know my genres, and those are the ones that, you know, I read. And then depending on the phase of your life, there's certain times in your life where you might need a certain type of book. Just go with what feels good.
Totally. Yeah. Well, and I love what you shared around spirituality too, because I do think it's a really important part of up-leveling your entrepreneurial skills and up-leveling yourself as a business owner. Because I think so much of the game is, yes, it's about strategy. And yes, it's about how do you sell more effectively and how do you scale your company and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, so much more often it's how do you relate to yourself? How do you relate to your own sense of worth? how do you get clear on, you know, those internal obstacles that are getting in the way of you really truly creating the success in the business that you want to? And I think spiritual books and books about spirituality have, you know, have a lot to do with that.
100% I mean, that's, I know that's a thing I just been working on, honestly, this year in 2020 was my own self-talk, being more aware of what that is. And you know, that's a big thing when you're a business owner, because you really invest your identity into your business. And if something doesn't go well, which it's going to happen, you have your ups and downs in a business. And when you have a bad month or few months or year, you take it personally, you know, and it's hard. And so then you're scared to take the next risk because you're afraid of failure with that. And I've had to really work on that, work on my self-talk and tell myself, you know, you're doing the right thing with this. This feels good and you're doing everything right. So go with it. But that's a real thing. That's real.
And I definitely want to hear more about that. That is one of the things I want to talk about. And taking a quick step back to when you were talking about transitioning, you know, from teaching into tutoring, I'd be curious for you, like, how was that transition, like leaving, you know, the more formal, structured educational system and going into working for yourself?
So there's a lot of parts of that, you know, part of it kind of going to what I just said, there was a lot of disappointment from people around me who literally told me I'm wasting my intelligence by being a teacher, which is just shocking that that's something that people would think, that a teacher is wasting their intelligence by educating others. But I had a lot of people who were pretty upset that, you know, I was doing that. I also was scared. It was scary. You're leaving where you have insurance and benefits and, you know, a steady income to basically, you don't know if you're going to be able to make this month's rent. And it's scary, but I think I've always kind of been a hustler. And so I just, again, took every opportunity. If it meant I had to commute 2 hours for one student, if it meant a student asked for a test that I didn't know, you know, I would take that travel, or I would teach myself that test. You know, I just looked at everything as a learning experience and didn't and looked at it is I didn't know where it would lead me. So that one student who I commuted 2 hours to ended up referring me to a ton of other people who are still, you know, like it's still networking and building clients for me. And the tests that I learned, you know, now that's something I offer and train other instructors in. So, you know, just constantly saying yes to opportunities that I know I'm capable of and not being, you know, turned off by the extra work that that takes. I mean, I was working 7 days a week constantly, but I knew it was short term. I knew it wouldn't be forever. And just keeping that in mind. And then there's just, I think it's a little bit easier when it's something you enjoy. You know, it's not so hard to get up and work 7 days a week. It's tiring. You know, I was tired, but it was a lot less draining on me than going to this job that was a third of the time that I hated because I knew the kids hated it. I didn't want to be there. They didn't want to be there. And it's just, it was still worth it to me. The sleep deprivation was worth it.
There's a, the book by Mark Manson, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. I don't know if you've read it.
No.
But so he talks in one of the chapters, he talks about how regardless of what you do, regardless of what you do, suffering is inevitable. Like you, at some point, something will be difficult. Like some, you will have to suffer through something. And he talks about how he, when he was younger, he wanted to be in a rock band, but he hated practicing. He hated practicing his instruments. And basically what he realized was like, oh, you know, I have to be clear that whatever I'm working towards, I'm okay suffering through the steps to get there. And if I'm not okay with it, it's probably not the right thing. And I love that. And I hear that in what you're sharing is like, yeah, there were parts of it that were not super fun and the commuting and the working all the time. But at the same time, the passion, the energy, the purpose, you know, driven work that you were doing really like had you feeling, empowered around the work that you were doing.
Yeah. And that's actually something I tell my students now, that there's a big difference between quitting and letting go of something that doesn't serve you. You know, I mean, if you don't feel good about something and you truly are leaving it, not just because it's hard or, you know, stressful, but it literally you're leaving it because it's not good for you, then do it. But if you're just quitting to quit, like we're not going to just quit. We don't quit around here. You know, we're going to keep it going. Yeah. So there's a difference and you have to know the difference. And I think that a lot of times, and this is something, you know, I work with the parents on, the students have to understand, children have to understand that struggle and challenge is inherent. It's integral in success and growth in learning. It doesn't mean you're dumb. It doesn't mean you aren't, you know, successful. Everyone has to struggle to be successful. This is integral. It's not just something that might happen. It will happen. And I think that what we do with our children is we really put them in these bubbles and we try to prevent them from feeling any type of struggle or challenge. And what happens is they don't build the resilience they need. So then when they do have that struggle, what they just want to give up and quit. And that's not going to serve them in life. And so we let our kids struggle a little bit, but then we reflect on it. You know, what got you through that struggle? What was hard about this? What will help you next time? And applaud, not just, you know, they got an A on a test, but their effort on their work. You know, the effort that you put into this is way more valuable than the outcome of the grade. And I think if we just tweak little things like that in our language to children, we can hopefully have more adults who think that way, who don't have to realize it in adulthood, who maybe realize it earlier in life and are better set up so they're not so lost or bored or in a job that they hate or whatever it is. Because, I mean, that has an impact, you know?
Totally. Yeah, there's a level of like self-directedness and the word that you use, resiliency, in that, which I think is so important, you know, and it's a huge part of the work that I do as a coach. Like I'm not giving people the answer. I'm supporting them in coming to their own answers so that after we're done working together, those skills are still there. They've built the muscle, they understand how to do it. And it becomes this compounding effect, you know, in a sense after they leave. Which I think is super valuable. And I love what you shared around the difference between quitting and letting go of something that doesn't serve you. Because I think that that's something that everyone struggles with it. So, you know, I'd be curious for you, as you've gone about building your business in the last 9 years, like how have you noticed the difference between those two things? And like, how have you navigated those decisions?
So one of the things that I've learned about myself is I'm pretty highly intuitive. So I think that for people who are intuitive, to just follow what feels right. So I do that when I hire my instructors, when I start new programs, you know, even when I pick up and move across the world, if it feels, I always say, if I go, like it feels good, I go for it. Even if everyone around me is like, what are you thinking? And I'm just like, this is what I want to do.
Trust me.
Yeah. Like, and then later on, they're like, oh, you did exactly what you should have done. Yeah, I know. I tried to tell you guys that. But not everyone has that same intuition. And also, it took me many years to trust my intuition. There's a lot of times where I had my own self-doubt or people did get into my ear and it made me wonder if it was the right thing to do. So in those cases, I would, you know, one of the greatest things to do is to really build a network around you of people who, you know, have your best interests at heart and who maybe know you better sometimes than you even know yourself. And sometimes I'll toss ideas off those people and they'll tell me if they think that this is a good idea, or they'll even kind of guide me in a straighter path. I was maybe wiggling a little bit, you know, and it's people who aren't even in my industry. So, you know, sometimes it's someone in a totally different industry who has the most amazing advice because they see it from a different viewpoint, but they still love me and support me. And that's the common denominator of it. So for people who have a hard time with their own intuition, I would maybe tap into others. That could be helpful. Or there's also some people who are a little more logic-based. So maybe even listing out pros and cons of things and seeing it visually in a list could be helpful for them. Because if the cons are just simply, even with this learning pod thing I was telling you about, there's a lot of cons to that. But then I look at the pros and I'm like, this is worth it. It's worth the risk. It's worth the stress. It's worth the work because of what we're providing for people is worth it. And the cons go out the window. So sometimes looking at things logically can help as well.
Yeah, that's really brilliant. So I hear creating a community, like really trusting yourself over time. And then if it would serve you, listing out the pros and the cons of, you know, what you're up to, which I highly agree with all of those things. I think with the community piece, I found that is, I mean, I think probably bar none, that is the most important thing that you can do in building a business is have a community of people who are ahead of you, at the same level of you, and also behind you. Mm-hmm. And like really getting a nice kind of eclectic sense of where you're at and having people that you can go to ask questions and, you know, when you're confused or, you know, when you're feeling stuck. And even with this, the self-trust piece as well, I find that what a lot of people are looking for is this sense of personal power and this sense of, it's almost like the ability to declare that something is going to happen and know and trust reliably that that thing will actually happen. That defining that as power, personal power. But the only way to get there is trusting self over time, trusting that when you say something's going to happen, you won't quit, you'll continue on until it does happen. You know, so over time, it becomes easier and easier to say, well, yeah, of course, I'm going to start this business, or of course, I'm going to generate these results, or of course, I'm going to create, you know, whatever it is, because I have this whole track record, of saying I'm going to do something and then actually trusting myself.
And that's something I work on with our students as well. I call it growth mindset, where, you know, by changing even our own self-talk or our talk with other people, you know, adding things like, oh, I'm not good at math. Well, I'm not good at math yet. Or instead of, you know, if you can be anything you want to be, it's since you can be anything you want to be, you know, it's just very minor changes of like, you can do this, you know, and showing them that I believe that they can do it. Is sometimes, or even like if we're talking about adults, having people around you who are so supportive and believing in you, sometimes that just gives you the kick in the butt you need to be like, all right, I got this, you know?
That's huge. Well, I think we create our lives based on what we believe to be true. And I find it's this self-affirming prophecy where we look for evidence to support the stories that we already have about ourselves. And if our stories are that this is impossible, I can't do this, I'm not smart enough, I'm not worthy, whatever it is, we just continue to create evidence for that. And so I think what you're sharing is so powerful because you can have someone else who holds the space and holds the vision and goes, you know, it doesn't have to go like that. Like it can actually go differently. You can create these things, and creating a space for someone else to be able to step into that and see, oh, the stories that I have about myself aren't actually true and they are changeable and I can create something different for myself. So incredibly powerful.
Yeah, but you have to be vulnerable to do that. So you, you know, you have to be willing to say you need help or ask for advice or even share moments of struggle. And I think a lot of people are, again, trying to have that power or that control or show an image of themselves, especially nowadays with things with social media, that I think that people are just so afraid of showing any kind of downside of themselves.
Yep.
And then they, how are you ever going to grow and heal if you don't address those?
Totally. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. And I'm very much so on the same page. And I think it actually really closely relates to one of the things I wanted to talk to you about. And we talked about this a little bit before we started recording, was the, your journey with self-talk in the last couple of years and how that's developed for you. So I'd love to just hear from you actually, like, how did that conversation start for you? Like, what are the big things that you're taking from this new conversation or new relationship with how you talk to yourself?
So one of the things I was noticing I was doing subconsciously, but then I was catching myself doing it, was I would put all this work into a project. And then it's almost like when you do the final touch to it, a little voice in my head would be like, that's not going to work. You just wasted your time. And I caught it and it was driving me crazy because it's like, it would just happen so fast. And then I instantly would start thinking that. And it took me a lot of, again, talking to other people, even seeking out counseling to kind of address, where is that coming from? Because I didn't used to do that. You know, I always said, if I get a job interview, I know I get the job. You know, talk to me and I'm going to get it kind of thing. If it's like, I just had this, like, I wouldn't even say it's like confidence necessarily. I just knew I could do it. If I tried to do something, I knew I could do it and I was going to fight till I could do it. And I started this new self-talk kind of happened after a little bit of a dip in the business. I mean, business wasn't great last year. It was low, but talking to other business owners in my industry, it was low across the board for everyone. Who knows? That's just life. Like, there's ups and downs. I still don't know why last year was bad, but it was bad for most tutoring companies. But I think that that's where it stemmed from. It started giving me doubt again, and I was getting a little more worried about it and thinking, am I going to have to let this business go? You know, is it not going to survive this, whatever that was last year? So seeking out help for that and being much more aware and being vulnerable about it was good. And now I haven't. I mean, I you know, don't have any doubt about what I'm doing because I really truly trust that what I'm doing is going to be helpful for people. And that to me, I think, is enough to keep me pushing through. So detaching the me from it maybe a little bit was helpful and making it more about what was the whole purpose of this business in the first place. It wasn't about so I could run around saying I have a business, you know, or so I could, you know, make everyone look at me like, wow. In fact, I don't like that. That's not a thing for me. But it's more about making sure I'm helping others and bringing myself back to that, I think, was helpful as well at cutting down that self-talk. Because I was like, you know what, even if this helps a couple of people, it's still worth it. You know, it's still useful.
Yeah. I think, man, especially in being a business owner and in entrepreneurship, I think it's so easy to make business results mean something about you and to fall into that, you know, into that hole. Like way earlier in the show, I had someone on, a gentleman by the name of Chris Brewer, and he was talking about, he had started a business, went to sell the business, and it basically just went terribly wrong. And he was talking about it as he literally said, I had business PTSD. Like, I literally had PTSD after this deal went sideways because it was so much of his energy and life and, you know, effort had been put into this thing that didn't end up going, you know, the way that he thought it would. And thinking about how, you know, directly that impacts your ability then to, like, do something about it, like, you know, go out and start a different business or, you know, take the business that you're currently working on and actually make it work. And you mentioned a bit around counseling, but I, you know, I'd just be curious at, like, a high level, what were the sorts of things that you were taking on as far as, like, practices, you know, getting support, like, what were the things that you were doing to more effectively catch that self-talk and then work to change it?
So part of, I think, the self-talk I had too was I had an image of what I thought a business owner was, and I thought that they weren't self-aware. They weren't, they didn't care about the community. I just kind of, I guess, visualized them as like these money hungry, you know, it's all about me, me, me. And I think one of the big epiphanies I had was in talking to other business owners who I truly admired. I admired that they maintained who they are as people. They continue to love what they do, even though they are extremely successful, and they're helping other people. They're now taking that success and being active in the community. In fact, maybe more so than they could have been before because they're so successful. And in talking to them and realizing that the struggles I was having was not just because of me, that this is something that everyone goes through, even in a business. And it doesn't mean I'm not good at what I do. And it doesn't mean my business is a failure, that they have struggles like that even now, made me more aware that, okay, so this is me holding myself back here, you know? And that's when I started seeking out people who I know could help me with that. So actually through even networking, business networking, realizing that that's a big component for a lot of business owners is seeking counseling to make sure that their mind is staying in the right, you know, gear. Mm-hmm. And it was a business reference that referenced me to someone who's been really helpful for what I need. She's a little more spiritual. Again, we're going to nice. That. So cool. She's awesome. But it was a business referral. And I think that it just, again, I go off feeling, and even after my first session with her, you know, a weight was lifted off me. And so mm-hmm. I'm a big proponent, obviously, of counseling and talking to people. And I think a lot of people who are against it will say they had one experience and they hated it, but it's mm-hmm. kind of like the book thing for me. Try someone else, keep trying until you find someone that fits, because you're going to find a fit for you that feels right. And it's just worth it to have someone to talk to.
Yeah, totally agreed. Kind of like we were talking about earlier, yes, it's the strategy piece and the, hey, how do you sell more effectively and how do you scale out your business? But it's also the mindset piece. It's the mental wellness piece. And I'm a huge advocate. I personally think that every person alive should go to therapy because I think it's just that great and that mm-hmm. helpful. But you know, yeah, but even just from like a well-being perspective, you know, I think that a lot of times what happens is people who start businesses end up becoming slaves to the business and are, you know, working crazy hours and totally burned out and, you know, not liking what they're doing. And I think there's so much to be said for also understanding like how do you take care of yourself so that you can show up at your most powerful and, you know, build your business in a way that feels more effortless and more aligned.
100% agree. And it's funny because one of my lines that I say with my students is I want them to be competent and conscious leaders. Because, mm-hmm. you know, there's only so much. If you have the knowledge and the skills, that's great. But if you don't have the right mindset, your impact is not going to be nearly as meaningful. I mean, we have leaders now that we wish that they were more conscious, you know?
Yep.
So that's a big part of what we do. Yes, we want our kids to have good grades and good test scores, but we need them to have the right mindset as well. So absolutely. I think that, you know, finding a network again of support, of people you can talk to is key, and reflecting on yourself and being vulnerable and constantly growing and learning and improving. Yeah. That's what lifelong learning is all about.
Totally. I want to switch gears just a little bit. And I want to talk a little bit more about your business from a strategic or logistical perspective, rather. But I know over the last 9 years, you mentioned that you have scaled the business. You're now at, you know, 50 tutors, you're at 3 staff. I would just be curious if you could talk at like a high level from a scaling perspective, like when did you decide it was time to scale? Like what are the things that you've run into along the way that, you know, you've had to remove or grow through? You know, if someone's at a place in their business where they're looking at potentially scaling and hiring more people, like what are the sorts of things that you might share with them?
So the biggest turning point for me again was one of my friends, and she mm-hmm. saw I was overwhelmed. I was working all these days, and she told me the first one you hire is going to be the hardest. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you're going to be like, why didn't I do this sooner? And it's true, because you don't want to hand over. You think I can do better than anyone else at this. Like, I don't want to hand it to someone else, or it's just going to be more work for me if I give it to someone else. And I get it. But it's true. That first one I hired was the hardest one. And then once I kind of tested it out to see how things were, and I was like, this is awesome. And the feedback I'm getting is great. And the parents love that tutor. And then it was just took off. That's when I was like, let's bring them on. So in, you know, I have learning, you know, learning pains from this for sure, growing pains. And, you know, there's a few in the beginning that didn't last too long. So there's a few things I would recommend when you're first kind of learning what it is that you want in a person you hire. I would start slow I would bring in maybe just one or two, make sure your systems are in place, your message is clear, but also, you know, just give them a few tasks in the beginning. Like for me with my instructors, I only give them one or two families in the beginning just to see how they can handle everything. And then once I know that they're good and they're a good fit, then we go full force. I start handing them more and more responsibilities. So easing them into it is good as well. I also think that the providing opportunities for training and for their own professional growth has been key. Mm. Because there's so much knowledge that I have that I wish I could just transplant it into my tutors. And that's part of what makes me nervous about handing them to other students. But what I find is that they're hungry for that knowledge too. They want it as well. And if I already have it in a very concentrated form and I can take my years of experience and really put it into 2-hour training that I don't pay them for, I don't require it because I have independent contractors, but I'll still have 20 of them show up for, you know, they want it. They want that experience. They want, and at the end, they're like, that was great. Thank you so much. You know, and they start putting it into effect. So giving them, if they're employees, it's obviously a little bit different, but giving them the opportunity to grow and, you know, thereby you're also having more confidence in their abilities because you're giving them the knowledge that you have that you wish you could go out and help, you know, to do everything yourself, but you can't, but treating it as a growth opportunity for them rather than a mandatory training, you know, treating it as this is going to make you better at your job and I'm here to help you with it, I think is key. I also will go back to that gut feeling when you're hiring people. I think I have two superpowers. And I think one of my superpowers is I find really good instructors and it's not off just a resume. You know, I talk to these people, I have to feel good about it. I talk to their references in detail and really following that gut feeling on someone, even if their resume looks great, but you just don't feel like it's a compatibility even, that's okay. You know, but there's somewhere I'm like, ooh, the resume is not great, but I love their dedication. I love their drive. And I see in them what they can be. I'll bring them on, you know, and they've been with me 5 years later and they're amazing. They're like my top instructors. So, you know, don't rule people out just because of that resume. Talk to them, get to know them. And it's time consuming. I mean, I just brought on about 20 new instructors. Trust me, I get it. It's time consuming, but the amount of time it saves you down the line when you bring in people who you know are a good fit is totally worth it.
Yeah. Thank you. I hear a couple things I hear in that. One is sounds like trusting and releasing. Like you can't do everything yourself. You got to bring in other people to support you in doing that. Like investing in the people that you have coming into the business, supporting them with professional development opportunities. And then there's this element of intuition or looking at what is this person's potential outside of just what their resume says or just outside of like how they present on paper, which I think is really cool. I'd be curious for you too, you know, as you have set up the back end, and I don't know exactly how it works, but I would assume that there's like a, you know, the parents pay you and then you pay the tutors, whatever it is. What was the approach or system that you took in creating like a win-win for the tutor? So they feel valued, they feel like they're getting compensated fairly, and then also creating like a win for your business. And then even maybe like a win for the family. Like what was that process like of creating that system where everyone wins?
So I really stand by, and I'm sure a lot of people who are listening have heard this, you know, providing high quality services or product at a high price, you know, I've really debated on, you know, over the years, I've sometimes thought about dropping the prices, but I'm like, I'm not dropping my quality. So I bring in phenomenal instructors, but I have to pay them accordingly and they get paid very well. And that's helpful. That's motivation for their job. You know, a lot of them, I'm paying them for their worth, for their value. I mean, they have their masters, they have their PhDs, they've been educators for 20 some years. I mean, they're phenomenal. So I'm going to pay them well. And I explain that to the clients, you know, like, and the people who have been with me for many years, they know, you know, they're going to be getting yeah, you're going to, you pay what you get for, you know, paying a little bit more, but these tutors are freaking awesome. And the whole point of the tutoring and the whole company in general is to get the kids to not need us. So our instructors don't just come in and help them with their schoolwork and their homework. If you want that, then go hire the high school kid down the street. You know, we're actually helping these kids to learn the underlying skills so that maybe in a month or two, they don't need us anymore. Like kind of like what you do with your clients. We're empowering them to do this stuff on their own. I don't want them to need us forever. That's not good for them. It's not good for society. So there's a lot of what we do very deliberately in our instruction, which isn't just let's learn this math equation. In doing that, we're also teaching them executive functions. We're teaching them interpersonal skills, like growth mindset, you know, emotional intelligence, metacognition, thinking about how they think. There's so many other components to it, which when the parents start seeing that that works, you know, that their kid is waking up before them and doing the work and the attitude is gone and they're getting along in the house, you know, for them, it's just worth it. It's worth the money, the peace that it brings. Obviously, not everyone can afford that, and I get that. I do have student sponsorship programs. I have sponsors who sponsor students who can't afford that tutoring to still give them the high-quality instruction that they deserve, too, but at a rate that they can afford because they've been sponsored, or it's free because they've been nominated by the school, and not just because they have a bad grade. It's because they show promise. You know, they're a student that actually has that dedication and promise. So there's ways around it as well. But that's, I mean, I think that that's the thing. Continue to provide really high quality services and product and charge accordingly. And don't drop those prices just because, I mean, people will pay it. The right people will pay for it.
Totally. Yeah. And it's so interesting because I find that, I think that's a place where a lot of entrepreneurs get stuck is in this like, oh, I can't raise my prices or I can't, have these high ticket offers because I'm afraid I'm not going to get the business that I'm looking for or, you know, whatever it is. When in reality, it's like, if you want to build something sustainable, you have to be willing to create that kind of product or service and then take a look at like, all right, how can I provide value and still support the people who can't afford that, you know, but also make sure that I'm in a position where I can continue to run my organization and live my life and, you know, be able to afford to live.
And I'll be honest with you, in the beginning, you know, when I was still building the business or if I was myself when I first started and I was learning a subject, I'd offer it for really cheap because it was a learning opportunity for me and I was growing and, you know, building it. But now when I'm at a point 9 years in where I know our services rock, then I'm going to charge accordingly. So maybe in the beginning, and people understand that, you know, I have some clients who've been with me since the beginning and I keep them at a lower rate because the referrals I get from them are totally worth it. But people understand, you know, prices go up over time. This is what it is. And as long as you give them a heads up on it, you know, and don't make it big jumps, you know, make it feasible and every year kind of make it a little bit bigger and keep it systematic. You know, schools are starting for us. So all my clients know September 1st, prices change. Because kids are a grade higher and that's just how it is. You know, a 12th grader costs more than a kindergartner. That's just the name of the game. And I'm sure there's other opportunities for that in the business or even charging higher, but giving more, you know, adding more to that service.
Right.
So people who can't afford the higher amount are just going to get more from it. So just keeping that high quality, making it worth that high price. If your quality is not good, then no one's going to pay the price
and
for
it. Doesn't matter.
And then they're going to be mad. They're going to be mad they paid for that and you didn't give them the quality.
Yeah, totally. You've mentioned too a couple of times the power of referrals or really like how you've used referrals to grow your business. I'd be curious, when you think about leveraging referrals and using referrals, like what have been the things that have really impacted or like allowed you to generate that much business through word of mouth and referrals?
So there's many layers to this. One of them that I originally thought of when you asked that question is, again, it was a friend of mine who gave me the advice, who's not in my industry, but it was a brilliant idea to do referrals that reward the instructors, but also the families. So if a family is working with a tutor and they refer another family, that family who did the referral gets free tutoring, but then the tutor they were working with, I have them on a tiered bonus system. Nice. So for every 5 referrals, they get a bonus that gets bigger with each set of 5. So then they're getting, you know, not just new students, which they may or may not be able to take because of logistics, who knows, but they're also getting bonuses. And I make that for their lifetime, not just the time they're with me, because sometimes referrals take a while to roll in. But what I do find is if I build a relationship with my clients, to where they know that I genuinely care about them. And there's easy ways to do that that aren't so time consuming. A lot of them don't even want that referral. They'll say the referral, the free credit. They're like, no, just keep it. Don't worry about it. Or here, you know what, go apply it to the person who just signed up. Like, we don't need it. They'd refer because they love you and they love your company and what you've done for their family and for their children, you know? And so maybe I'm in a different industry than a lot of people because we really get to know our clients. But I think that when you build a relationship with your clients, they're going to refer even without those incentives because they just believe in you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an element of community, connection, service, I think, that comes out when you're purpose driven. And I think even just, you know, based on the conversations that we have had and what you've shared, I am super clear that that's the business that you're in. It's a purpose driven business. But I think it's cool because that's not only applicable to tutoring or educational services. I mean, you literally look at any other type of business in any other industry and doing it and driving it from a place of purpose, I think, you know, 10 times out of 10 is going to work out in your favor, you know, instead of just being focused on the money or...
Isn't that funny? Like the less you focus on the money, the more the money comes in.
Yeah. You know? It's like the most counterintuitive thing.
Yeah. But it's so true. I mean, it is. The less you make it about the money and more about when it's less transactional and more about the person, then you end up getting more money, which is just crazy. But it's awesome because that's where it's fun. It's funner to make it about the person than about the money. It's a lot less stressful, I'll tell you that.
I agree. Yeah. Win-win. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, Lindsay, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people find you online?
So the best place to start is probably our website. So it's Worldwise Tutoring. So with an S, worldwisetutoring.com. That's where you'll find everything. You'll learn about our student sponsorship program. You'll learn about our learning pods. We also have a whole enrichment program with online enrichment classes to get kids excited about learning, our one-on-one. I have a lot of stuff in there for parents because a lot of parents are having a hard time right now knowing just even how to start. So I have a whole bunch of things in there, like how do you motivate your kid? How do you teach kids of different age levels? You know, whatever it is. But then I have a student handbook for the kids too. You know, if they just need a worksheet about quadratic equations or whatever it might be. And it's all free. So the resources there are free. We're also on all social media. I mean, literally on all of them. So just look up Worldwise Tutoring and you can find us there and get a bunch of daily free resources. And we have a lot of free events like virtually proctor tests and, you know, times where I bring in people who are experts to give advice to parents. So really, you can find us a lot of places.
Awesome. Cool. And then do you have a parting piece of advice for the folks listening to build bigger, better businesses?
I would say always just follow what feels right and don't let your self-doubts or other people stray you if it actually feels like the right thing to do. And keep that in mind in your lowest moments. What is it that you were, what was your original purpose for starting this? What is your big goal that made that feel so right? Maybe write it on a piece of paper for those times when you're feeling really down to remind yourself, this is why I started and this is why I'm going to keep going and this is what I'm going to do is I think really key.
Totally. I think if there's one thing that I've heard more than anything else as I've built my business and gotten to know other entrepreneurs, it's just don't quit. Literally just don't stop. Just keep going because eventually it will work out. And eventually, you know, you'll get to a place where, you know, you get what you want, but it's like, you just got to hang on as long as humanly possible.
All temporary. The struggle is temporary, but it's worth it.
Totally. And I love to close out these shows with acknowledgments. So Lindsay, are you open to me acknowledging you?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Lindsay, there's a bunch of stuff I want to acknowledge you for, but I think the first is like, thanks for just being a leader, like a real true example of what it means to be a leader and especially like a leader from service. Like I get that the things that you're up to in your business and in your life come from a very deeply rooted place of like wanting to serve kids and wanting to serve community in supporting people and understanding how to learn better. And I think from, you know, when you talk about really vital skills, soft skills, interpersonal skills, learning how to learn, I think is probably if not number one, top three for sure. Thanks for like building your life and building your business around serving other people and supporting other people and getting more of what they want. Thanks for your grace and your kindness. I get that too. Like, granted, we're virtual, right? So I haven't met you in person, but there's just like this aura of grace and kindness that you bring with you into the conversation. And I'm sure that's a huge reason why your business is doing as well as it's doing and why you attract the kind of talent and the kind of tutors that you attract, because people want to be led by someone who leads with grace and who leads with kindness. So thanks for bringing those. Thanks for your vulnerability. Thanks for being really open about your journey and relationship with your own self-talk and being open to talking about going to counseling. I am a huge advocate for therapy and counseling. And I think the more that we have people who are really accomplished and really successful talking about their struggles with mental health and talking about how they've been supported and are continuing to get supported, I think it just makes it more accessible for everyone. And I think that's really what matters, you know, at the end of the day. And lastly, just thanks for being purpose oriented and purpose driven. I'm a huge advocate for creating businesses that serve a higher purpose and serve the community and aren't just created to make money. Like, I think it's kind of an unfortunate thing that seems to be the prevailing dogma. And I think there's so much more opportunity in looking at like, how do we create these businesses that serve a larger purpose and help us live the lives that we want to at the same time. So thanks for bringing that. Thanks for who you are, for your community and for your students and for your tutors. And thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for that. That was awesome. I'm going to cut that and then say it to myself every morning and just listen to it. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed this show and want to stay up to date on new episodes or other special offers, I'd invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. And if there's ever anything I can do to support you, please don't hesitate to reach out and let me know. See you next time.